Jonah 4. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That's why I was so quick to flee Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do," he said. "I'm angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've got a new pair of glasses. I thought I'd tell you, but I've got my old ones on because I can't see through my new ones. I've got these varifocals, and they're very, very, very various, but I just can't get anybody in focus, and I certainly won't be able to see my notes, and despite Will trying to pinch these off me, so I've got to use these, I'm going to use my old ones, otherwise you won't get a sermon. Let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you for this book of Jonah, for all the things that we can learn in it and from it. And we pray that you will just speak to us this evening through the words of this culmination to this strange but wonderful story. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, for many people, forgiveness is a real problem. And it was certainly the case for Jonah. When I was preparing this, I opened by one of my commentaries, and it showed a map of the Middle East, and it showed where Jonah was in Israel, and it showed where Nineveh was, which was right over the east, and it showed where Spain was, right over the west. And God said to Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh, I want you to preach to them, I want you to tell them that they're sinful and they're doing things that displease me, and there's going to be a judgment for you." And so he said to Jonah, "I want to go, you go to and warn them. Go to Nineveh." And do you know what Jonah did? He set off for Spain. Because he didn't want to go and pass on this message of grace, which is really basically what this whole book is about in some respects, and it's certainly what this last chapter is about, the grace of God towards Nineveh. A number of years ago now, when I was working in Bradford in the theatre there, in the Alhambra Theatre, well, the pantomime came in again, and it came every year for 3 months, and I remember Bobby Ball came. Bless his heart, he died, of course, in the COVID last year. And Bob came along. I'd known him for a few years, and he came to the theatre. And in that particular season, he came to a living faith in Christ. Christ changed his life. That's another story. But I want you to tell you what I did with that, because in Pudsey, where I was vicar, I went to the local restaurant. It was a big restaurant, well known, And I said, can I hire the restaurant for an evening in a few weeks' time? And they said, yes, sir, well, of course you could. And so I rented the whole of the upstairs of this this lovely restaurant. And I asked Bobby to come and speak at the end of it. And we invited all these people, and people turned up for a free meal. They do in Yorkshire. And they turned up for a free meal, and they went. And then at the end of the meal, I asked Bobby to share his story, to share how he'd come to faith in Christ. And it's all in his autobiography, this, so I'm not sort of telling any tales when I'm telling you various things. But Bob was the type of guy, he's a welder. That was his job, from Rochdale. And when he was on stage, before he went on stage, every day he really got through about a bottle of whiskey. And when he drank, he fought. And so if he'd had a bottle of whiskey, you stayed out of his way. Otherwise, he'd be having a fight. And he wasn't very big, but he could hit very hard. And that was the sort of guy he was. And he was cheating on his wife, on Yvonne, bless her. And his whole lifestyle was a very debauched sort of lifestyle. That was it. That was the way he was living. And then he came to know Christ. And he learned how Christ loved him and had forgiven him. And his sins were forgiven. He had a new life, and he had eternal life, life with direction and power, meaning and aim that went right into eternity. And that was a wonderful discovery for him. And the change he made to his marriage was quite remarkable. And in his relationships, because he and Tommy Cannon, who was his partner, hadn't spoken for 3 years. Tommy had his own dressing room. Bob had his own dressing room. When Bobby Ball came to find Christ, he went into the dressing room of Tommy and he said, Tommy, it's about time we got together again, isn't it? And they made up and they became so close after that again, after that, what Bobby did. His life was changed remarkably. Anyway, the evening of the meal came and Bobby shared all this story. And a woman came up to me at the end of the evening, and she was so angry. She was furious. Why should he be forgiven by God? She said. Why should he be forgiven after all he's done? How he's cheated on his wife and he's hurt his family. He should be punished, never mind being forgiven. And then you get many people who find very hard to forgive. Remember the lady vicar whose daughter was killed in the bombings, in the tube bombings in London a few years ago. There were quite a few explosions in the tubes and on a bus and so on. A lot of people were killed, and one of the girls that was killed was her young daughter, and she was a vicar, and she was so distraught she could not forgive the bombers. And she resigned from being a vicar. I don't know whether she resigned from her priesthood, but she left the parish and left the work. I don't know what happened, whether she found that again. I hope she did. However, you do get people who forgive. It makes all the difference. Remember when Stephen Lawrence was killed at the bus stop? And his mother, I don't know how long afterwards, but she went on television and she said she'd forgiven those lads that killed her son. I forgive them. And there's no doubt that forgiveness is a process. It does take time to working through the pain and the consequences and the constant reminders of what caused that pain. A loved one killed in a road accident, maybe by a drunk driver. Cutting corners in building work in order to save money. And after I wrote that, there was the collapse of the flats in, where was it? Miami. And you think about the Grenfell Towers, when they were cutting corners in to save money, and all those people were killed. How do you forgive in that sort of situation? And people long for closure. But unforgiveness brings bitterness. And suddenly shared with me this morning, after I preached this morning, about something that had happened to her and her need to forgive, which she said she now had. And one thing I said to her is that cancer eats away at you it destroys you. If you can't forgive, eventually you're eaten up inside by it. And perhaps you've been hurt and damaged by words or actions of others, and it eats away at you, destroys your relationships, it destroys your happiness, and you need to forgive and you need to allow yourself to be forgiven, even if you can't forgive yourself. And sometimes that's something else we have to do, is to forgive ourselves for something we've done. And some people can't forgive themselves for what they've done, angry with themselves. Maybe they were the drink driver who knocked somebody over. Maybe they were innocently involved in a road accident when somebody, through no fault of theirs, somebody was killed. And they cannot forgive themselves for what happened. And there are people who can't forgive themselves, even if they are not to blame. When I was at Pudsey, we had a young man who was, he was 18 when I went there. That was 1988, I went to be vicar in Pudsey, and there was this young man, and he was just about at 18 to go into the Royal Marines. And he went into the Royal Marines, it's all he wanted to do. And within a short space of time in the Marines, he was with the SBS, the Special Boat Service. And then just before the Gulf War, he was transferred into the SAS, and he was active in the Gulf War. And he told me some of the things that had gone on. And at the end of the Gulf War, when the peace was declared and the treaty was signed, whatever they signed, the government said, our government or the American government, whoever it was, said to the SAS, we can't come because of the political sensitivity of this situation. We can't send in the helicopters to get you out. You've got to get out yourselves. And a lot of these guys were killed trying to get back home. And he couldn't forget that. He couldn't forgive that. He came out, in fact, of the SAS. He came out of the army. Guilt and forgiveness is very destructive. And when he came home after the Gulf War, he said to his mum, Mum, I can never forgive myself for some of the things that I've done. I wonder how Jonah ended up. Because if you read chapter 4, there's no conclusive end to it. It doesn't tell us how Jonah finished off. It just tells us that God forgave Nineveh. And it doesn't look as though, as I read this, it didn't look as though Jonah got to the point where he forgave God for forgiving Nineveh. We don't know. He was angry with God. Why? Because God forgave the people of Nineveh. And he was like that woman at the dinner. Why should they be forgiven? They should be punished. They should be wiped off the face of the earth. And in verse 2, it says this. He prayed to the Lord. Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That's why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. You're going to forgive them. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. I know that's what you're like, and I knew that was what you were going to do. His unforgiving attitude toward the people of Nineveh was eating him away inside. It was destroying him. And for all we know, it might have done so. And could it be that this is a description of your heart? Unforgiving towards someone who's wronged you? Angry with God because he's forgiven someone who's hurt you? And they've got away with it? And it's eating you away inside? And you can see that their lives have changed. They are a new creation, maybe in Christ. And you're angry about that as well. Verse 3 says, it's better for me to die than to live. That's what Jonah said. And then God then says in verse 4, have you any right to be angry? And isn't it true that we have no right to be angry because someone who's hurt us and has now become a follower of Jesus Christ has been forgiven? Their lives have been changed. They are a different person. That's wonderful, isn't it? And such an attitude like that is destroying us, probably, because it's not how we feel. And now, despite Jonah's anger, we see God's grace towards him and also towards the people of Nineveh. And so Jonah goes into Nineveh, as we've read, and he preaches, and they turn from their sinfulness. We're not told what it was, but some of these places like Nineveh were pretty depraved. Why God chose them to forgive them, why God wanted to forgive them, we don't really know, but God wants to forgive us. He wants to give us new life. He wants to give us new hope. He wants to give us new direction. And maybe that's how God was feeling towards the people of Nineveh, and he wanted to give them an opportunity to turn to him and receive forgiveness. And Jonah eventually, after a trip nearly to Spain and getting thrown into the sea and swallowed by a whale, and things happen, don't they, really? And he that's what he went through, and eventually he gets to Nineveh and he preaches to them that God will forgive them if they repent. And lo and behold, to his horror, they said, yes, we do want to repent. We do want to get right with God. We do want God's forgiveness. And he was angry. He was furious. He's obeyed God in that he's preached to the people of Nineveh. They've repented. But Jonah's not happy. He wanted to see them punished. And look what it says in verse 10. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? God's grace towards that city, which was so evil. And in verse 6, it says, then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah, because Jonah camped outside Nineveh. And he says, right, I'll see what happens here. And he camped outside and it got very hot, as it says a bit later on. And then the Lord provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. I bet he was. The grace of God towards him. With an attitude like that, God not only loved Nineveh, he loved Jonah. So he gave him this thing to cover him so he didn't get sunburnt. And he didn't shrivel in the heat. And that's how he was. It destroyed his heart. His heart hadn't changed despite God's love and grace towards both himself and the people of Nineveh. And then, obviously, his heart wasn't changing. And in verse 7, we read what happened. Because at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. His shelter went. He turned his back on God so long that God's grace couldn't get through to him. Not that he didn't want to. He'd shown that. It's obvious his heart hadn't changed despite God's love and grace. And God allowed the worm to destroy his shade. Jonah had pressed the self-destruct button, it seems. And Jonah's hardness of heart caused even more distress. And in verse 8, he says, it would be better for me to die than to live. God, what a state to get to. He was so bitter. He said, I'd rather die than see them forgiven. He was angry about the vine being destroyed. And God says to him, do you have the right to be angry about the vine? I do, says Jonah. I'm angry enough to die. He was a real pain, wasn't he, really? When you think about it. And Jonah says, I do. He was a miserable beggar, really. I thought of another word when I was preparing that, but I didn't put it down to tell you. But he was. And here we have the grace of God. God and God's undeserved favor towards the repentant people of Nineveh. And I thank God for his grace towards me. And the forgiveness I don't deserve. And it's a grace that goes on day after day after day. And I don't know about you, sometimes I think to myself, how can God ever go on forgiving me? I need to pray that God will help us to forgive those who've hurt us and damaged us, yes. And we do need to pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We may find it hard to forgive, and it may take time and prayer. But don't let it destroy you. Don't let it eat away at you like a cancer. Let's remember the grace of God towards us. Because God sees us. And he sees our hearts. And he knows we choose the right way, the wrong way rather than the right way. He knows there's a twist in our nature to take us the wrong way rather than the right way. There's a bias in us to do that. I'm playing golf. No, I'm not playing golf. I'm playing bowls. I've joined Chandra's golf bowls club. And on Father's Day, all the family, didn't we? We went over to my son's at Northampton. And all the family game. My daughter came down from Sheffield. And we had a great time. And on the kitchen table was this huge parcel, all wrapped up. And it came in the afternoon. It came to the time when they said to me, this is your present, Dad, for Father's Day. And I opened it. Then they bought me some bowls. And you know, they won't go straight. There's a bias in them that takes them the wrong way rather than the right way. And it's just like human nature. That's what you're like. That's what I'm like. We want to go the straight way. We want to go the right way. There's this pull all the way to every time. We have to keep coming back to the Lord for forgiveness. The grace of God. By grace you have been saved through faith, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. It's a gift of God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God in his grace desires to forgive us, even though we have that bias and tendency to go the wrong way rather than the right way. Don't let unforgiveness forgive you, destroy you. Don't let it eat away like a cancer. Let's remember the grace of God towards us. We will never understand what it costs God our Father to grant us his forgiveness, which we need. The people of Nineveh needed God's forgiveness. Jonah needed God's forgiveness just as much, although he was reluctantly obedient. And then, as I've quoted from Ephesians chapter 2, for it is by grace, by God's unmerited favor towards you and to me, his love for us, by grace you are saved from the power of sin and the consequences of sin. The power of sin that constantly takes us the wrong way rather than the right way. That power which we battle against, the black dog versus the white dog in our lives, day by day, moment by moment. And the grace of God says, you are saved because I love you despite what you like, and I'll continue to love you. And it's through faith. You don't earn it. It says in actual fact, and this is not yours from yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's like those bowls that were given me, even though they had a bias in them, which is a good job, otherwise I'd never, been worse than I am. But the thing is this, that the gift of God is the forgiveness that he offers us by putting our trust in him, because he died to pay the price for our sin. He didn't give us a vine to cover us. He gave us his own life. God became man, and he went to the cross because he loves us. And God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he says, I know what you're like, and I want to forgive you. If you turn to me, you repent and turn around, follow me. Repentance means a change of direction. Turning from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. And then he goes on and finishes with, he says, it's not of works, so that no man can boast. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. We're not good enough to earn it. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. For we, he says, are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. So the people of Nineveh were saved from the consequences of their sin because they repented, and God in his grace said, yes, I will forgive you. And they turned from their evil ways, from darkness to light. And what happened in Nineveh was a gift of God. And they certainly didn't deserve forgiveness. They didn't earn it by their good works. They simply received it. And you cannot earn a gift. It wouldn't be a gift if you could earn it. And so it's not of works. You can't boast about it. You need simply to receive it. So here we are in the Old Testament. Here we are in the book of Jonah. What do we find? A gospel of grace. Forgiveness offered as an undeserved gift, not earned by the Ninevites, simply received. Are we like Jonah? Do we find forgiving difficult, like Jonah did? Do we hold grudges? As God forgave us in Christ, so we ought to forgive one another. As then I say, I'm not sure whether Jonah did. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that it never changes. Praise God that you are a gracious God and you love us with an everlasting love. You simply want us to accept what you desire to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.